Satan's questions, which are also important. And when Rabbi Braun suggested that we have a class on Sfas Emes, it's like, I don't know too much about the Sfas Emes, although I do know that at least from my mother's father's side, I come from Ger Hasidim. That's really about it. I don't know too much about it. My great-grandfather came to this country, and then my grandfather, I don't think he would identify as a Ger Chosid, or he didn't. I'm pretty excited about it, and I think it should be, hopefully it'll be enlightening. So, go ahead, take it away.
Chaim. Nice to meet everyone, those that I didn't know, and old friends. Chaim.
Old in what way? You're saying that word
old. I meant it in the most casual way that there could be.
Rebbe Braun is a different crowd.
So it's today happens to be Meshgacha Pratis Benegre. Philippe and I were discussing making the shir, and then we were thinking Monday night, and then we realized after the fact that it was Yutas Kislev. Today is Yutas Kislev, which you know is a very special day in the Hasidic history. It's considered the Rosh Hashanah Hasidus, the day that in heaven it was given permission to reveal the secrets of Hasidus. And that's what Philippe said, which is very true, that very often Judaism is seen as being just a long list of do's and don'ts. And that's the type of Judaism that people rightfully leave very often, because it gets tedious to have just a list of do's and don'ts. And this day of Yutas Kislev is when it was recognized in heaven above that the last generations before Mashiach comes, we do need to go deeper into Torah. And we need to learn things that might have been considered in previous generations only for a select few. We need to penetrate into deeper ideas of Torah to inspire ourselves and to make ourselves more alive and more warm. That's why it's very good. We're sitting over here in front of a fire.
Other
chairs over here. Yeah, you need two more chairs.
One more for my cake.
Do you
want to have your cake and eat it too?
We can sit
on. So it's good we're sitting in front of a fire, because that's what Chassidus is supposed to do. It's really supposed to illuminate us. And this Sefer Sfas Emes specifically, I chose that we should have a shirin for a couple of reasons. First of all, because it's considered, I think, by most of Klal Yisrael, even by the Hasidically challenged. You know, there's some Jews that are Hasidically challenged. But even those Jews that are Hasidically challenged, they still see Sfas Emes as being Nachlas HaKlal, considered for a general audience. So it's not offensive to anyone. Second of all, because it's very short pieces. So this way, I didn't want to do something that's cumulative. I wanted to start a shiur on something that each week is its own idea, and each week has its own piece, and each week we sort of learn something new, and that's why Sfas Emes is also a great sefer, because it has short and beautiful pieces. But the third idea, and the third reason I want to do Sfas Emes, and most importantly, is because it's an absolutely beautiful sefer. That's really the truth. It's just, he's so penetrating, the way that he understands things, and I really think that the ideas of Sfas Emes say, and he's so full, you know, you have a coffee called Chock Full of Nuts. You ever drink Chock Full of Nuts? So Sfas Emes is chock full of gems. That's like a weird pun, like a weird rabbinical dumb joke. But it's true. It really is chock full of gems. It has a lot of really beautiful ideas. And like Philippe said, it's a real sefer that changes the way who we are as people. And not just that Judaism isn't about just what we do or don't do. It's really about who we are as people. And I think this piece is a great piece. You'll see, this is a perfect example that it really shows us a different perspective on life. And that's very important. That's a very important way of what it means to be a Jew and to continue strengthening and warming ourselves up, what it means to be a Jew. Now, the piece I chose, he doesn't directly speak about Hanukkah, but in my opinion, I think he's referring to Hanukkah. He's hinting to an idea of Hanukkah, as we'll see as well, because the Shabbos is Erev Hanukkah. So we're going to connect it to Hanukkah, of course, also. Let's see inside. It's also nice to learn a text, because this way, you know, you have a text. It's not just something oral. It's just, even though orality is an important thing, but it's also good to have a text. Let's see inside. So learning the piece, you see where it says Tafresh Nun Aleph. You don't have a sheet?
I don't want
any more sheets? You don't want a sheet. Okay.
See.
So where it says Tafresh Nun Aleph, it's on the right side of the page, where it says Tafresh Nun Aleph, where it starts with the word Bemedrash. Everyone sees it? So the way the Sfas Emes works, so the Sfas Emes was the Ger Rebbe, as Yaakov, as Philippe said, and he would say Torah every Shabbos by the Tish, by Shal Shudah. So these are actually pieces that he would say live, that he wrote down afterwards. So this was the year Tofresh Nun Aleph, which is, for those that want historical notice, is 1891. 1891, that's when the Sfasema said the following piece that we're going to learn. The Medrash, there's a Medrash that everyone that ever learned Rashi knows. How does this week's parsha begin? Vayeshev Yaakov. Yaakov, how would you translate Vayeshev Yaakov? And Yaakov?
Sat.
Well, sat. Well, they didn't just sit down. Settled. Okay, but what connotation do we all know Rashi say that settled has?
Permanence.
Permanence, and more than permanence also, what type of settling? When a person moves into a new area, I can tell you from experience, you're not just looking to settle, but you're also looking to feel settled.
Integrate.
Feel serene. Right? Feel at home. Mm-hmm. So Vayeshev Yaakov, Rashi says, that Yaakov wanted to finally, after all he had been through in the house of Lavan, and battling Esav, and losing his wife Rachel, and having his daughter Dina raped, you would think that he could take a breather? So Vayeshev Yaakov was like, okay, fine, that's it, now I need a little break. Vayeshev Yaakov, he said, you know what, now I'm going to get one of those calming apps, you know those apps where we have raindrops falling on your head? Mm-hmm. Not like Butch Cassidy and Sundance Kid, not that one. I'm talking about, that's a lively song. I'm talking about, you know, the app where you have like raindrops, mm-hmm. really calming,
yep.
soothing,
yoga.
So Yaakov wanted to like do a little yoga, you know?
And he had 7 years
of yoga?
No, of peace.
No, that was later on. He had 17 years in Mitzrayim, not at this point.
Didn't he have 17 years now and then 17 years later?
No, wait, this is what Batul Rashi says. He wanted to have it now, but he was about to have the biggest problem of his life, right? Anything he suffered until now by Lavan, Esav, and his wife dying was nothing compared to what he was about to face, which was
Yosef.
Losing Yosef for 22 years. It was later, at the end of his life, that he had the 17
years.
I
thought that he had 17 now and then 17 at the
Didn't
end.
Did he have a yeshiva shiva never?
There he learned. But those that learn seriously in yeshiva know that that's very far from feeling serene.
Okay.
Least of all the dormitory, right? But so listen, look, the Medrash says that Vayeshev Yaakov wanted to settle, he wanted to feel serene, he wanted to feel at peace, and Rashi brings that Hashem wasn't happy with this request. Tzadikim mevakshim leishev b'shalva b'olam hazeh. Tzadikim want to sit b'shalva. They want to sit at peace in a serene way in this world. Hasatan mekatre, and Satan, the side of evil, is mekatre, accuses and says he doesn't agree with this, and says, Loi dayan b'chule. Now, the Sfasemus, I have to warn you, the only really difficult part of the Sefer is that the Sfasemus speaks a little in codes. Because it was just writing up what he had said at the Tish or by the Shal Shudas, he sometimes he'll just say one or two words, and etc., and you have to know what Chazal is referring to. So I'm going to help to fill in what it says, that Yaakov wanted to sit b'shalva, and then the Satan, the side of evil, said, Loi dayan l'tzadikim shemib yoshim b'loi lam haba. It's not enough the tzaddikim that they sit, they have serenity in the next world. They want to sit in a serene way in this world. No. And then that's therefore he had to suffer the suffering of Yosef. So we see that for some reason Yaakov's desire to sit in serenity was not good. Rashi says it wasn't, Medrash says it wasn't good. And the Satan said, no, you can't sit in serenity in this world. And because of that, Yosef, the suffering of Yosef then followed right upon. Now the question becomes, which the Sfasemis is assuming, is that Yaakov Avinu was such a very righteous tzaddik that he wasn't looking to go to Club Med. He wasn't looking to go on when you go to travel agent's office, there's different types of vacations, and one of the types of vacations what they call back stomach. You ever heard of such a thing? Back stomach is that you just, there's a vacations when you want to go sightseeing, and then there's another one where you just want to sit by the water and turn from your back to your stomach. Right? You're an expert at that?
By the way, the Baba Chereti says he had 17 years now of employment with Yosef until he departed.
That's 17 years. Yosef was 17 years old.
Yosef, so he had the first 17 years of enjoying Yosef, and then the last 17 years. And so the gematria of both of those,
yeah,
is 34, which is the same gematria as the next parsha.
Oh, so he had, Yosef was 17 years old when he was sold.
Right.
So he had 17 years with Yosef before he was sold to Egypt. And he had 17 years when he got reunited with him. But the first 17 years that he had with Yosef weren't good years. They were in the house of Lavan. They were facing Esav. They were the rape of Dinah and the death of Rachel. So those 17 years were with Yosef. Shopping. They weren't years of
minor things, you know?
It just, yeah.
I don't know, you can discuss it with Lubavitcher.
Life has a lot of obstacles, yeah. You know?
Oh, so that's exactly what looks at this. So is saying, so seemingly it sounds from this that Yaakov wanted to sit Bashal, but that he didn't want any obstacles. He didn't want any obstacles. So Sosema says that's not what it was. It wasn't that just he wanted a club, man. He didn't just want to sit by the water. Look what it says. Perish. Shirotze Yaakov Avinu Olav Hasholem. L'saken k'mashiyah la'osir. Yaakov wanted to rectify the world and live in a world now as it will be in the Messianic era. Mevurur gam ba'olam hazeh hanagasa yisbar. That this world now should also be revealed godliness. In other words, you know what type of serenity he was referring to that Yaakov wanted? Not that he should have a club med. Yaakov wanted shalom, but that he wanted that God should openly be revealed. That there shouldn't be a struggle to feel God. That's what he wanted. He didn't want to just, have, you know, relax. Yaakov wanted that it should be openly revealed that everything is coming from God. That would be nice, right? And that Yaakov was a tzaddik. He wasn't just looking to chill out. He was looking that he wanted shalom, but that you shouldn't have to struggle to feel God. You shouldn't have to struggle to... He wanted to be like Mashiach. He wanted to usher in the Messianic era, as they say, where God will be openly found. That's what he was looking for. Says the Sfasemis, in other words, that Yaakov wanted to reach the ultimate level. What's the ultimate level? Look. V'hine, Gimel Shemais Yesh. We know that our forefather Yaakov, and thereby the Jewish people, have three names. Yaakov, Yisrael, Yeshurun. Here in Tinek, there is a special... meaning, Yeshurun, right? Yaakov, Yisrael, and Yeshurun. So Yaakov had these three names, and the Jewish people also known as B'nai Yaakov, B'nai Yisrael, and Yeshurun. So Yaakov had three names. Now, that wasn't a personality disorder. What are these three names referring to? So it says, Sfasemes, Yaakov, B'chinas Aguf. Yisrael, B'chinas Hanashama. So Yaakov was when he still had to struggle with the body, when the physical was still an obstacle. When one's physical desires, when one's physical needs is still something holding oneself back from spirituality. Why is Yaakov associated with it, with the goof, with the body? What do you see about the name Yaakov that has to do with the body?
Heel.
Akev. Comes from heel, right? It's all about a heel. That's why Yaakov is about a struggle, which is why when did Yaakov ascertain the name Yisrael?
When he wrestled
and conquered and was victorious over the angel. So Yaakov is the name when you're still trying to wrestle with the body, which is, by the way, the Yud is the first letter of Hashem's four-letter name. So Yaakov is when a person is struggling with trying to make, I'll use the phrase, make ends meet, make Yudke Bovke meet with my heel, to try to overcome my body. We all know that most of the problems that we have with worshiping and connecting to God is from the body. That's almost all the problems are from the body, our bodily needs. So struggling with the heel is Yaakov. That's the body. Yisrael is the neshama. That's the soul. That's when one overcomes the body. When one transcends the body and one has spiritual revelations. And Sasem says, look at the next words. V'shoyresh shebashamayim. See, he says that? Yisrael b'chinas ha-neshama v'shoyresh b'shamayim. What does he mean, v'shoyresh b'shamayim? It means the root of our soul in heaven. Yisrael is the name of our souls. Do you ever wonder when you say the Shema who you're talking to? Translate the words for me. Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu. Shema Yisrael.
Hear, O Israel.
Hear, O Israel. Who is O Israel?
It's our body.
Who are you talking
part
to?
Part of it is Yaakov.
Yaakov.
Talking to us.
It's Yaakov having spoken. Yeah.
Huh?
Isn't Yisrael Yaakov?
Well, so why would you be... You're having a conversation with Yaakov thrice daily? Talking about having a say.
We're repeating what.
Who are you talking to? Think about it. You're closing your eyes. You're not using a megaphone, and you're saying Shema Yisrael. Who are you talking to? So the Svarim say, and so Semes is alluding to that Yisrael is. You're right. It's Yaakov, but it's specifically the soul of Yaakov, which corresponds to all of our souls. So you're really talking to yourself. But you know they say in the Shuganer is somebody that talks to oneself, right? That's a crazy person talks to themselves. So what does it mean you're talking to yourself? You're talking to your soul. Your own soul is called Yisrael. What you're saying, Shema Yisrael, is that Yaakov is saying to Yisrael, the part of you that's in your body, your conscious self, is saying to the transcendent spiritual part of who you are, Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. I know the truth of God's unity. you're almost reassuring that, that we all have Yisrael. Yisrael is the neshama, which is the deepest part of who we are. That's Yisrael. Yisrael is what's called in the Zohar, Yisrael de la'ela. It's the part of us that's one with God, the supernal Israel. And so what we're saying to that part of our soul, we're saying that even though I'm down here in this world and all these crazy things, and I'm Yaakov and I'm dealing with, you know, filing taxes and stuff, that's in another couple of weeks, right? IRS, you know, boilers and stuff. But I'm saying to the essence of my soul, I'm saying to your soul, Shema Yisrael, you should know, even though I'm down here, I'm still Yaakov, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. That Sherish B'Shamayim. That says the Sfasemis, but there's a deeper name. There's an even higher name than Yisrael. What could be higher than the essence of my soul that's up above with God? He says, Sfasemes, the Yeshurun, he is Chabrus HaNeshama V'Aguf. Yeshurun is the name of when Yaakov and Yisrael become ultimately united. Is when I completely fuse the essence of my soul with my body. That's Yeshurun. Me'ein, says Sfasemes, that's like, just, that's why, what word do you see in Yeshurun? Yeshurun is straightness, like a word straight. So it's me'ein, mashakosav, like the Pasuk says in Keheles, v'elekim oses adam yosha, God made man straight. You remember that Pasuk in Keheles? In Keheles, in Ecclesiastes, it says, v'elekim oses adam yosha, v'heim abikshu cheshbeinus rabin. Pasuk in Keheles, God made man straight, and they seek many calculations, cheshbeinus rabin. God made us straight. God made us in a way that our soul and our body are supposed to be fused. But we, because of our many calculations, we sort of make that netek. How do you say netek? Disconnect. Yeshurun is when we manage to completely fuse that. It says Sfasem is look inside. Just Yeshurun is like before Adam Rishon did the sin. Shehaya Adam Rishon begufay beGan Eden. Which part of Adam Rishon was in Gan Eden? All of him, the body also. So that's Yeshurun. And that's what the ultimate Yeshurun is to have this ultimate fusing that my body and my soul... What's that song from Ray Charles? And Body and Soul, right?
Yeah.
Your Body and Soul. It's Ray Charles and who's that woman?
Betty Carter.
Betty Carter. Right, so body and soul. So Yeshurun is when you have body and soul completely one. When you're able to like be in your kitchen... hang out and have like a bite of ice cream and feel God just like you do on Yom Kippur. When there's nothing stopping, you could feel God in everything you do. When you're able to feel God in the most mundane aspects of your life, that's Yeshurun. When everything is openly revealed to be one with Hashem, that's Shalva. That's the Shalva that Yaakov was looking for. That's the serenity Yaakov was looking for. A seamless life. I love the word seamless. You know, seamless. You know a seam, but what do you mean seamless? A seam is when you have a garment and you could see that it's stitched together, right? Even though today it's considered very fashionable. My wife and I were looking for rugs in IKEA. It's a lot of parables of Torah you could learn from IKEA. We won't get into all of them. But one of them is that the most expensive rugs in IKEA now is when these huge rugs where they actually sew together like 35 different types of styles of rugs.
Mm-hmm. A patchwork. Patchwork.
A patchwork. But like that's the most expensive one. It's like instead of having one beautiful design, you like stuck together like 35 things that have nothing to do with each other, and that's about $6,000. Right? Because today in modernity, everything has to be messed up. Right? That's modern art. I'm still in the romantic era. Right? So that's when you see the seams. Seamless is when there's beautiful, it's like one harmony, when you don't see a million different things patched together. So that's Yeshurun. That's a life. So it's actually not. So like a modern life is like that type of rug in IKEA. That's modern life. But like, you know, 5 minutes you're like davening, you're feeling Hashem, and 5 minutes later you're like, you know, checking out a YouTube video, and 5 minutes later, you know, every 5 minutes is like something else is happening. That's modernity. Yaakov didn't want that. Yaakov wanted Shalva. He wanted Yeshurun. That everything should be openly be one seamlessness.
So Yeshurun is when you're checking out the YouTube video and feeling
ashamed. Exactly. And Yaakov wanted that you should feel God in the YouTube video. Right. Exactly. So look. But what was Yaakov's mistake? So what's wrong with feeling God when you check out the YouTube video and going to work as much as when you're in davening? It says Sfas Emes, b'hazman loya oid muchan. But the time wasn't yet right. It wasn't yet the time to reveal this holiness in the world. Yaakov ascertained that level of Yeshua. Yaakov felt that. Yaakov felt God no matter what he was doing. V'yavah Yaakov Shalom. Yaakov was Shalom. Yaakov was whole. Yaakov was Yeshua. But the world wasn't ready for that revelation yet. Yaakov thought it was. You know, by the way, that's what the Chassidish Shesram say. You ever notice the weird things that Yaakov sent to Esav in last week's parasha? What did Yaakov send to Esav? Which type
animals.
Of animals?
Donkeys,
sheep, camels. All sorts of animals that you're usually not allowed to bring in the Beis HaMikdash. So the Sfarim explained that what Yaakov thought, he thought he was going to rectify Esav. He thought that it was the Mashiach, the time for Mashiach. You remember what Yaakov said to Esav? Ave el Adonai Seira, I will come to you, I will meet you. Rashi says he thought we were going to bring Mashiach. Yaakov thought he was rectifying Esav and it was finished. Yaakov kept wanting to have Shalva. He kept thinking he was going to rectify the world by himself. You wouldn't even have to go through like everything we've been through the past 2,000 years. But the time wasn't ready for that yet. So Yaakov sent to Esav impure animals. He thought he was going to rectify everything, even camels and donkeys also. But it wasn't yet the time yet. You know why? Because there was one factor that was missing. Yosef. There's another type of thing that has to happen called Yosef. That's why Kofetz l'Avruch Zeshul Yosef. That's why this other story of Yosef had to happen. Yaakov couldn't do it. He needed Yosef. Look what the Sfas Emes says. That's what Chazal say. Loi dayan v'chulitz. Now you think it's not enough that in Olam Haba there's going to be shalva. What does it mean? Loi dayan. There's a name of God that has in it the word dai. Anyone remember what it is?
Shaddai.
Shaddai means has in it the word dai. What does Shaddai mean? What do the sages teach us? What does Shaddai mean? Shaddai be'elukusi v'chobiri. That Hashem. Cheshbon, Hashem calculated how much godliness in the world there is in order for us to be able to survive. Sometimes we think that like he messed up in accounting, that he needs a better accountant. But he doesn't. Hashem really knows what he's doing. He has his act together. And the word Shaddai, that name, means that he calculated, he put enough holiness in the world for us to be able to find it. We have to look for it. But it's there. That's what the name means. So the Sfas Emes says, that's what it means. Sha'ama lo ilo me dai, shalei espashara kedusha chutz megvulai umekoy me vizmanai. God put enough of His light in the world, for enough in His time and space, that within the time and space we should be able to tap into Him. Just enough that we should be able to find Him. And Yaakov was wrong. Yaakov made a wrong calculation. It wasn't yet time that His light should be completely revealed. So what has to happen in order for it to be revealed? For the Shalva to happen, you need the world of Yosef. You need Yosef to happen. There's something about Yosef that Yaakov didn't do. There's an avodah, there's a type of service of Hashem of Yosef, that's necessary to bring about the Shalva's ultimate rectification. What's this avodah of Yosef? The Sfas Emes is an unbelievable thing. Look. Behine Yaakov v'Yosef heim shorish klal b'nei Yisrael. Yaakov and Yosef, these two ways of living, which we're going to learn what they are, Yaakov is one way of living, and he thought that was enough, but it's not. But it is one way of living that we need, which is why we're called B'nai Yaakov, but we're also called B'nai Yosef. Right? You know the Jewish people are known as the children of Yosef also. Like in Tehillim, in chapter 80 of Tehillim, we're known, Noya Katzon Yosef, Hashem guides us like the sheep of Yosef. He refers to us as Yosef. We're called also like the children of Yosef. We live in both these worlds of Yaakov and Yosef. That's why there's so many, you ever wonder, there are more psukim about Yosef than there are more than any of the other patriarchs. Right? Yosef was like the star of the second part of the second half of Genesis. Avram gets two parashas. Lech Lecha and three. Lech Lecha Vayir Chayisara. Well, Chayisara was already Yitzchak. Then Yitzchak gets one parasha told us. Mm-hmm. Yaakov gets Vayetze Vayishlach. But then Vayeshev, Miketz, Vayigash, Vechi. It's all Yosef. Yosef's the star. All the way to the end. It's all Yosef. And so the Sfas Emes is going to say, because there's something about Yosef, which is even more moving, even more challenging, and even more inspiring, and even more demanding, that's the only way to bring about the Shalva. Look what he says. So Sfas Emes says a fascinating thing. V'heim, Yaakov and Yosef, are beis matonos shenosin HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yisrael. Two gifts that God gives us. And the Sfas Emes is now going to expound on a pasuk that we all know, a verse that we all know, where we see that Hashem gives the Jewish people two gifts, and these two gifts are these two ways of living that we need to fuse, to come to the Shalva. So you all remember the pasuk, Hashem owes, no? Lamo Yitain. Hashem Yivarech Es Amo Basholom. Translate it for me. Hashem, what's owes?
Strength.
It's a famous Karlbach song.
To his people.
To his people.
And then he blesses his
and then he blesses people with peace. So there's owes and shalom. Strength and peace. You ever wonder that they're contradictory?
Mm-hmm.
One provides the other.
One provides the other? How?
By giving security.
O's give away. See, I see you're a right winger. I'm with you. I'm with you, man. Yeah, that's right. I agree with you practically. That's probably true. But we're going to see what you're saying is more true than you even know. There's a certain strength that is the only way to have peace. And again, let's leave politics on the side, but we're not talking only about military strength. We're not talking at all about military strength over here. Because there's a certain O's, there's a certain strength that, you know, if, you know, they always say the PR office of Israel, and all the PR offices, they always say, and it's true, that what would happen if the Arabs would lay down their weapons?
We would kill each other.
That's what
now
they
that
say
would
in
be peace.
Shibu.
Yeah.
I'm saying what they say in the PR places.
Yeah.
We would lay down our weapons also.
Yeah.
If we would lay down, if the Jews would lay down their weapons, we'd be destroyed. If the Arabs would lay down their weapons, we'd lay down our weapons too, right?
Yeah.
So we say that O's, what you're saying, what's your name again? What's your name?
Yitzhak.
What Yitzhak is saying is that O's brings shalom. But seemingly if there's ultimate shalom, you don't need O's anymore. Right? Pretend there's ultimate peace. If John Lennon got his way, there's nothing to kill for. And nobody wanted to kill anyone anymore. Seemingly you wouldn't need an army anymore, right? So you wouldn't need O's.
It may not be strength like that. It may be internal strength.
Oh, exactly.
Yeah.
So says the Sfasemis, we understand that real strength is something internal, that not only do we still need it to have shalom, and not only does it bring about shalom, but even when you have shalom, shalom is actually an actualization of this type of strength. Look inside. These are the two gifts God gives. Oz and shalom. These are the two gifts. And Oz is Yaakov, and Yosef is shalom. Look inside. It's beautiful. Look what he says. Oz la'amo yitain hi ha-Torah. This strength that God gives the people is Torah. Shenikra Oz. Torah is called strength. Right? That's Torah. Torah is called Oz. Ain Oz elator. Torah is called strength. Why is Torah called strength? I don't know about you, but most people that I know that learn a lot of Torah are not the ones that can pick up weights in the gym. My wife and I, we just started going to the gym like a month and a half ago. We actually haven't gone in a couple of weeks, but yeah, I know.
But you're moving
all
boxes.
Right. Yeah, right. But we actually did join the gym, and I was going for a couple of weeks, and I could tell you it was very embarrassing when I'm trying to pick up the weights, and I have like, you know, those black bars,
yeah.
And you put this, I have to like pick up the metal thing from like all the way in the bottom. And put it like
towards
the top.
Just doing
and then these
and
guys
that.
Next to me are like, you know, they're picking up like, see, and I'm like schwitzing from like three bars. So seemingly, why is Torah called O's? Why is Torah, what does Torah have to do with strength? You know, it's exactly what she said, 100%. Because Torah is what brings about internal strength. You know what the greatest strength there is in the world? Idealism. There's nothing stronger than ideas. As Errol Flynn said, the pen is mightier than the sword. There's actually, my wife showed me a meme recently of a picture of a swordfish, and it said the swordfish has very few predators in the water, except the little less known penfish.
Which is even mightier.
Which is even mightier. Right? So what does it mean the pen is mightier than the sword? Because ideas, a person that has ideals, that has a truth to live or die for, is the strongest person that there is. Torah is called Oz because a person who's Hashkafa, whose mind is fashioned by Torah, is the strongest person that there is. Not physical strength per se, but physical strength is very easily overcome. So it says it's Vasemis. Yaakov had Oz. Yaakov had this idealism. Oz lama yitin hua Torah shenikra Oz. Ukumo shekosav titin emes li Yaakov en emes el Torah. Yaakov is emes. Why is emes Oz? Why is truth strength? A truth that you're willing to live or die for. That's truth. That's strength. That's the ultimate strength. That you have your truth that you're willing to die for. Kierkegaard has a famous journal entry when he was very young. I think he was like 21 years old. It's one of the first things Kierkegaard ever wrote. He says, "What I'm still lacking is a truth for which I'm willing to live for and die for. A truth that I'm willing to live and die for. That's what I must find. Because if you have that, then you're the strongest person that there is. That's why Torah's O's is emes. That's why Yaakov is emes." So Yaakov had an idealism. And Yaakov thought that that was enough to bring the world to a rectified state. You'll forgive me for saying it, but almost like a teenager. Every teenager thinks, "I found the truth, now the world will comply. Because I know the truth, and now everyone else must know that. I'm just going to put out a couple of Facebook posts, and the whole world will be fine." Right? I'll start a new Instagram thing, and send a couple of pictures of people helping other people, and the whole world will be fine. Everyone will be rectified. It doesn't exactly work like that. But Yaakov, if you have that oz, you have that strength, then shalva. Now I know the truth. The truth has come. The truth shall set us all free, and now the world will be rectified. Says the Sfas Emes, but there's something missing. There's shalom. Look inside. Yevarech es amei b'shalom is Yosef. Yosef is shalom. And soon we're going to see, why is Yosef called shalom? Shalom is something deeper than oz. Says the Sfas Emes, ve'elohim matanes b'elam haza. These are two gifts in this world. Emes and shalom, truth, the strength of truth, and shalom are two gifts in this world. Why are they gifts? So someone is going to say, because they don't belong in this world. They're not of this world. They don't really feel comfortable. This world is not a world that really speaks of truth and peace. Everything about this world screams the opposite. You know who say that? The sages already. K'may shekosev b'medrash Bereishis, like it says in the Medrash and Parshas Bereishis, Emes v'shalom amru al yivra. The Chazal say in the Medrash that when God created the world, there were two big opponents. This is actually worded in Chazal. Chazal say Hashem wanted to create the world, and two voices were heard that says, "Do not create the world." Emes and shalom, truth and peace. Truth and peace said, "Don't create this world. Don't let the world be created." That's what truth and peace. It's a Medrash. It's a Chazal. Emes v'shalom amru al yivra. Truth and peace that don't create this world. Because what about this world is truthful? What about this world is peaceful? This whole history, if you ever learn, anyone that's a student of history, it's all about deceit and war. The history of mankind. You had a couple of, you know, points of goodness and truth. But Emerson Shalom was saying, don't create, don't let the world be created. Dekule, says Fasemus, he brings the measures, Dekule Shkarim, Dekule Ketota. Because the whole world is lies and war and battling and discord. So truth and shalom have to be gifts. That's what it means that Hashem had to give these two. Think about the pasuk. Hashem owes la'amo yitein. Hashem yivarech es amo b'shalom. What's the connotation of this pasuk? If God needs to give us strength and bless us with peace. What does that seem to imply? That without this special gift of God, without this special blessing, we can't have it. You know why? Because this world is not a world that can contain truth and peace. We need God to give it to us. And that's through Yaakov and Yosef. We didn't yet explain why Yosef is peace. But now the Sfas Emes says an unbelievable thing. Look at this. V'zua ketata, when we're saying that this world is a world of discord, of disharmony, of fighting, of not being at peace, which is what this world is all about. Zuk tata eino dafka ben adam l'chaver. We're not talking about discord, strife between one person and another. When we're saying that this world is not a world that is a world of discord, a world of strife, we don't just mean between one person and another, people killing each other. There's a discord, there's a strife that's much more difficult in this world than one person fighting somebody else. What's the worst type of discord there is? What's the worst type of strife that there is? Even deeper than that.
Internal.
Look what Luke Sassama says. Rak ni shu shalom ba'atzmai. Real shalom is being at peace with oneself. It's hard to be fighting with somebody else, but there's something much more difficult. Fighting with oneself. When you have this, you know, there's William James in his book, Varieties of Religious Experience. He speaks about how religion is the greatest healer, because what does dis-ease really come? Dis-ease means dis-ease. When a person is not at ease with himself, not at peace with himself. Right? There's a saying that I recently heard from Lao Tse-tung. He said, I wrote it down, he who controls others is powerful, but he who has mastered himself is mightier still. He who controls others is powerful, but he who has mastered himself is mightier still. The greatest dis-ease, the greatest strife, is when a person is fighting within themselves. And the truth is that the deeper than that. Why do people fight other people? Because they're not at peace with themselves.
And if they're just content, then it's the person's inner soul, the Yetzirah, the Yetzirah, fighting each other.
So you're 100% right that that's definitely a discord that makes it difficult, that there's no shalom. 100% that a person has the good part and the bad part of himself. But then there's something even more subtle that's more challenging, when you're not sure which is the good and which is the bad within yourself. Right? You're right. When it's a clear-cut case of that there's the good meat, you know like in the cartoons when you have the little, you know, Donald Duck has like the little satanic one with the tail and the pitchfork on one shoulder and the one with the halo on the other shoulder?
Yeah.
So when you have that that internal discord, huh? What's that? It's difficult when you have the little Satan and the little, right? That's, but there's something even, when you don't even know which part is the good, which is the bad, right? You know, by the way, anyone that ever dealt with children knows when you have a kid in class that's always acting up and always fighting with everyone else. What's that the sign? What does that show? You know, Spencer Tracy said there's no such thing as a bad boy. So what does it show when you have a kid that's fighting? Now you're a guidance counselor, right? What happens? So is my wife. What happens when a kid is fighting with everyone in the class? What does that show you?
Trouble at home.
Trouble at home. That they're not at peace with themselves. They don't have shalom within themselves. And by the way, it's not just kids. Right? It's not just kids. When a person yells at somebody else, it's because they're sad, because they don't have peace within themselves. They haven't mastered themselves. So the Sfasemis says, look inside. Rak mishu shalom ba'atzmo shanashoma v'haguf Misyashvim be'achdus. You know what Yeshurun is? Ultimate Yeshurun, ultimate Shalom, is when the body and the soul, body and soul, misyashvim be'achdus. When there's an ultimate seamlessness between the different parts of you, your body, your soul, your physical, your spiritual, your religion, your job, your hobbies, your pleasure, your interest. Imagine that they all work together. There was complete peace, mastery within oneself. That's shalom. That's not of this world. This world is about being thrown into a million different places. But shalom is when you're able to unify them all together. That's Yeshurun. And so Sfasemis says that that's what Hashem gave, the gifts. Hashem owes l'ama yitain. What's the owes? The ideal. What's the shalom? Hashem yivarach sama b'shalom. What do you think the shalom is? If the O's, the strength, the ultimate strength is the ideal. So what's the ultimate shalom? Being able to
unify them.
Actualize, unify
your body.
The idea, right? It's true, you could be very strong, have a very strong ideal. But then there's making it work with the rest of your life. We all had, when we were teenagers, a lot of ideals. But then, like, you know, then you got a bill that you have to pay. And then life happened.
Sure.
Right.
How is Yosef the
become a
of
conservative?
That?
What?
How is Yosef an incorporation of those ideals?
We're gonna get there. We didn't get there yet. No. Wait, rega, chaka. Lap, habibi, lap. We're gonna get there. But Yaakov, but the idea is that shalom. What's the shalom? What's the peace we're looking for? The actualization of the O's. Hashem owes l'ama yitain. God gives us ideals that we as Jews could live by. That's ultimate strength. But then there's another gift. Hashem doesn't just give us the O's, the ideal, the emes, the Yaakov. Hashem yivarech es amo bashalom. To live in peace, to live in harmony with that ideal, to actualize it. Look inside. And then in brackets, the Sfasemis says, "Ubeis elu." This is just a parenthetical. "Ubeis elu him Torah beis hamigdash." Generally, Emes Oz is the Torah, and the beis hamigdash is the ultimate place of shalom. Why is the beis hamigdash the ultimate place of shalom? Because the beis hamigdash is the ultimate place where the ideal of Torah was actualized, mm-hmm. where divinity became actually united with physical in the ultimate place. That's the Beis Hamikdash, right? And therefore he says a beautiful thing. That's what says Fasemus Uvenichel B'Shem Yerushalayim. That's what the word Yerushalayim means. Yira Shalom. Yira, the fear of Hashem. Shalom being actualized. Look inside. Yira hiya Torah melamedes l'adam das. Yira is Yerushalayim, is the truth of what God is. V'shalom u'izgalas ha-kedusha is the revelation of the holiness in the physical world. Sheshachan ha-kodesh baruch hu b'toich b'nei Yisrael, that Hashem actually revealed himself in the b'nei Yisrael. V'hu b'chines yeshurun k'mo shekasa v'ayhi b'shurun melech. Like Moshe Rabbeinu says in Parashat Vayetzi Brachos, v'ayhi b'shurun melech, when Hashem actually gets actualized, that's yeshurun. So that's why, by the way, where is the Beis Hamikdash? The Beis Hamikdash is not just in Jerusalem. You know where Yerushalayim really is? When Mashiach comes, Yerushalayim is going to be wherever we make into a Yerushalayim. Any place in your life that you've made, that you've fused God there, that you've actualized your ideal, that's a part of Yerushalayim. Why do you think we always, when we pray, we face Jerusalem? What are we doing? We're longing for Zion, true. But it also means you're facing Jerusalem, means when you're in some place in your mundane life, and then all of a sudden you start praying to God, that's making that into a Jerusalem. That's making the embassy into a Shalom.
Is that also why it always says the place that God chooses, as opposed to saying the specific spot?
That's right, because it's not geographical, 100%. Yeah. And halachically, by the way, the Sanhedrin can actually make... Where do the boundaries of Jerusalem go? Well, hopefully with Donald Trump there'll be more, but halachically, where are the boundaries of Jerusalem? Anyway, halachically, Sanhedrin could decide to make it bigger, right? There's a whole process that Gemara Menachos talks about how you can make Yerushalayim actually halachically bigger. And Mashiach comes, it says, everywhere that's going to be Yerushalayim, that we sanctify, that we actualize the ideal, that we live the seamless life, that we brought God into our YouTube videos. That became Yerushalayim.
Mikdash
Ma'at. That's a shul is a Mikdash Ma'at, yes? And a Jewish home is also a Mikdash Ma'at. It's also like a Beis HaMikdash. That's why the first of our mate, the matriarch Sarah, the three miracles that she always had in her tent, in her home. What were the three miracles? Candles always burning, challah always warm,
and the cloud.
And the cloud were exactly like in the Beis HaMikdash, where the candle was always burning, where the menorah was always burning, where the cloud of Hashem was there, and the lechem upon him, that the bread was always warm. Meaning that Sarah was the beginning of the Jewish people is to make our homes into Beis HaMikdashes, which is Yerushalayim, Emes and Shalom. Now here comes Yaakov Philippe's question. What does it have to do with Yosef? Why was Yaakov not enough? What was it about Yosef that was that extra last slam dunk home run that was going to actually bring it about that Yaakov couldn't do? What was it about Yosef that Yaakov wasn't able to reach, to get that Shalva? Look inside. The Kosov told us Yaakov Yosef. Ki Yaakov hu haTorah. Yaakov is the ideal. But the Yosef hu haTikun. Yosef is the ultimate tikun, the ultimate rectification. Hayotzei min haTorah el haMekablim, to actually bring the Torah to the Mekablim, to the receivers. She is mashchu achar Torah, the Torah should be brought down to them too. Now, here the Sfasemus doesn't elaborate, but he has in other pieces. What is it you all know about Yosef in his life? What do you all know about Yosef in his life? You know, there's a Rashi, by the way, when Yosef was born, Yaakov then wanted to go back to Esav. You remember what Rashi says? Yosef was born, and that's when Yaakov said to Laban, I want to go back home. So Rashi says, because the Pasuk says that, Beis Yaakov la'esh, u Beis Yosef la'hava. Yaakov was the fire, Yosef was the flame. The fire burns over here, but the flame is what makes the fire go to a distance. What is it about Yosef that was the ultimate actualization of the ideal of Yaakov? Yosef was the one that actually went down to Mitzrayim and faced the type of tests that Yaakov never even thought were possible. Yosef was the one that actually went down to Mitzrayim. He was Sholem, because he was the one that brought the Yaakov, he was the one that actually was able to actualize going into the most darkest place you could imagine. Any place that we have to go in our lives.
That wasn't his choice. He He was sent there by God and by...
And so are we. And we think sometimes. We think.
Money's not.
What?
Money's not
what?
Sent by anybody.
That's what he thinks. That's what he thinks. But the truth is the Baal Shem Tov Torah... Yeah. The Baal Shem Tov Torah, that the Baal Shem Tov really, this is a very revolutionary idea that the Baal Shem Tov put, but the Baal Shem Tov said, even choices that we make, which are free choice, 100%, we're not denying it, but in retrospect, at the end of the day, the choices that we make are also coming from Hashem. They're also coming from Hashem, right? Because you could also say Yosef made choices, he wanted to go to Shechem, it all comes from Hashem. And Yosef was the one that was able to get there and be able to continue to be connected to Hashem. Now look at the other side of the sheet that I gave you. Turn the sheet to the other side.
Yaakov sent them knowing that
this
was the next step.
That's the Rebbe's
idea.
Yep. Send them down that's right.
Mm-hmm.
And that means in a very deep way, Yaakov knew.
In a very deep... Okay, so that's Yaakov, the Rebbe's idea that Yaakov sent...
Metaphysically, in a spiritual way, he knew that he hadn't got... You remember, I remember when I was still in my modern Orthodox school for my Bar and Bas Mitzvah days. We used to play, you know, limbo, they have at the Bar Bar Mitzvah, how low can you go?
Yeah.
I always was like one of the first ones to get disqualified. But there are those that were able to go
shot. Gotta work on his flexibility.
But there are those that are able to get really low. So Yaakov was like, how low can you go? It's like a game of limbo, and Hashem says, no. MS is great to have ideals. But Shalom, Hashem Yivarech Es Ameh B'Shalom, that you need a Yosef to go down to Mitzrayim. So look at the other side of the page. So on the top you have over here a quote from the Rambam. And this connects very much to Hanukkah. And you'll see how beautifully it connects to Hanukkah. So the Rambam paskins like this. This is a halacha that we're learning now, the very last law in the Rambam, the laws of Hanukkah. Says the Rambam, if a person has before him the choice of, and you only have enough money, we should have known from it, a person only has enough money between his house's candle, what's a house's candle? Your Shabbos candles.
Right. Yeah.
Now everyone knows, by the way, what's the halach of having Shabbos candles, what does the Gemara say, what does that represent?
Shalom
bayis. Shalom bayis, peace in the home. So if you have a choice between the house's candle, Ner Shabbos, or the Hanukkah candle, you only have enough money for Hanukkah candles or for Shabbos candles. Or you have enough for the Shabbos candles or Kiddush, or for wine for Kiddush. What should you do? The Rambam Paskins, his house's candle comes first. Because of Shalom Bayis. If you only have enough money for Shabbos candles, Hanukkah candles, Shabbos candles. Because Shabbos candles is about Shalom Bayis, is about Shalom. As the divine name is erased in order to create peace between a man and his wife. What's that referring to?
Sota.
The Sota, right? And then the Rambam says, Godol HaShalom. Peace is a great ideal. Now listen to these words. As the entire Torah was given in order to bring peace in the world. As it says, V'chol nesivoseha, noam, V'chol nesivoseha, shalom. The whole Torah is bring to be shalom in the world. The whole Torah is it was given to bring peace in the world. So listen what the Rambam is saying. In the laws of Hanukkah, the Rambam is saying that the whole purpose of Torah is to bring shalom, to bring peace in the world. What does that mean, that the purpose of Torah is to bring peace in the world? To bring God to the world. To bring this peace of actualizing the ideal of God in everything we do. That's the point of Torah. The whole point of Torah is shalom. So if a person is living and doesn't have shalom bias, so it's not actualizing the ideal. But what's interesting here, as Lubavitch Rebbe points out, if you have a halacha that you have a choice between Shabbos candles and Hanukkah candles, Shabbos candles goes first. Where seemingly should that be? In which laws?
Shabbos.
In the laws of Shabbos. But the Rambam doesn't write in the laws of Shabbos. He writes in the laws of Hanukkah. In the laws of Hanukkah, seemingly, if Shabbos candles or Hanukkah candles is the greatness of Shabbos candles. So write about it in the laws of Shabbos. No. In the laws of Hanukkah, he writes that Shabbos candles comes first. Why? You know why that is? Because the Sfarim, the Chassidish Sfarim say, because you know what Hanukkah is all about. Where do you light Hanukkah candles? Rosh Hashanah,
yeah.
Outside, in the darkness. Hanukkah is all about Yosef. Hanukkah is all about this Shalom. Hanukkah is the only Yom Tov that we got when there was no prophecy anymore. Hanukkah is a Yom Tov that we didn't have prophecy. The Megillah, Purim, there were still prophets. Hanukkah, there were no prophets anymore. Hanukkah is the time that's the last... You ever wonder why we sing Ma'oz Tzur by the Hanukkah candles? Ma'oz Tzur is all about the four exiles. right? Why dafka by Hanukkah? Because Hanukkah was the going away present from Hashem. Hanukkah was the last holiday we got from God before the exile. Because Hanukkah is that holiday where Hashem revealed to us that even when you're not going to be hearing my voice anymore, even when you're not going to be feeling that MS of God, the truth of the O's of the strength of Torah, Hashem still is Mavarchas Amei Bashalom. Hanukkah is that no matter where you are, you're able to light the candles and bring the light of God in the darkness, in the Rosh Hashanah. The candles of the Beis HaMikdash could only be in Jerusalem, the Neiros of the Beis HaMikdash. But the candles of Hanukkah are making everywhere into Jerusalem, into Sholem. So therefore, in the laws of Hanukkah, the Rambam tells you that light Shabbos candles first. Or the way the Rebbe said it, and the Hanukkah candles themselves say to you, light Shabbos candles. Because the Hanukkah candles are all about Sholem, actualizing the ideal. And I think, this is what Sam doesn't say, this is my, I think, but I think it almost shouts out that this is the truth. Look at the Gemara on the page, the next, one of the most fascinating Gemaras, that everyone, all the Darshanim, all the people that say drushes, Hanukkah time, always bring the following Gemara. With this we're going to end, because it's a very perplexing Gemara. It's two statements in the Gemara, one after the other, that seemingly have absolutely nothing to do with each other. Let's read the Gemara inside. Look inside. Rav Kahana said, Rav Nassim ben Yumi expounded in Rav Tancha's name. Teaching number one, if a Hanukkah candle is placed above 20 cubits from the ground, it is pasul, too high, like sukkah and a crossbeam over the entrance of an alley. That's a halacha. Hanukkah candles have to be below 20 amos. Fine, okay. Next, teaching number two, same person, Rav Kahana also said, Rav Nassim Yumi expounded the name of Rav Tancha's name. This is in the Gemara in Shabbos. Why is it written and the pit was empty, there was no water in it? You all know this, Vaborik and Bamayim. The pit was empty, there was no water in it. Right? We all know the famous question from the implication of what it is said, the pit was empty, do I not know there was no water in it? Right? The pit, what pit was that referring to?
Yosef.
That Yosef was thrown into, you remember? The brothers threw Yosef into the pit. And the Torah says, and the pit was empty, there was no water in it. So you all know Rashi, but this is Rashi's source. The Gemara says, Rav Tanchum says, if it says the pit was empty, do I not know there was no water in it? What then is taught by there was no water in it? This teaches you there was no water, but there were snakes and scorpions in it. What do the two things have to do with the other? Ner Chanukah can't be above 20 amos, and the pit that Yosef was in had snakes and scorpions. But very strange. What's the connection to these two statements? But I think, so everyone asks this question for, like, there are thousands of answers given to what do these two statements have one to do with the other. The baseness of Hashem's, I think it comes out beautifully. Yosef is the ultimate Hanukkah candle. Yosef went into the snakes and scorpions. He actualized the ideal even in snakes and scorpions, even in a mosh pit. You know what a mosh pit is, any grateful that concept, they didn't have mosh pits. I know. Yeah. But you know what it is, a mosh pit, right? So Yosef went into snakes and scorpions. Yosef went into the place, he was the ultimate Hanukkah candle. That's the Ner Chanukah. Why is the Ner Chanukah not kosher? It's above 20 amos. Because you have to see it. Because it's about bringing the light of God into the snakes and scorpions. So the Sfasemis is saying we need these two gifts from God. Number one, the O's, the ideal, knowing the truth of Hashem. That's Yaakov. But then there's the ultimate challenge of Yeshurun, of Chanukah. And that's to be able to go into the place of snakes and scorpions, whether voluntarily sometimes in life, or sometimes when it's against our will, we're just thrown into these snakes and scorpions. We're thrown into the house of the wife of Potiphar. We're thrown into these places that we just don't understand. Why am I here? Why does God want me in these snakes and scorpions? Why am I in this situation? Why does God want me in this difficult darkness? Because you have to be a Hanukkah candle. Because says the Rambam, Kol HaTorah Nitna Lasei Shalom Ba'olam. The whole purpose of Torah is to bring about the Shalom. The whole purpose of Torah is to bring about this actualization of God. To be able to feel God in the snakes and scorpions. To be able to light the Hanukkah candles in the darkness, in the Rosh Hashanah, throughout all the exiles that we sing about in the Moos Tzur. Throughout all the snakes and scorpions. And that's the ultimate Shalom. If we live in such a way that actualizing these two gifts, bringing about God in our life, in the snakes and scorpions of our life, in the pits that we found ourselves in, that's the ultimate Mashiach. That's what Yaakov didn't realize, that we have to go through that also, that aspect of Yosef. And that's what our lives are about. That's why Yosef is such a star in Genesis. Because the patriarchs are all the ideal.
You know, Yosef never heard the word of God. God never spoke to Yosef. Look through the whole Chumash. He never spoke to Yosef. Yosef doesn't hear the word of God. Yosef is Hanukkah. Hanukkah is there were no prophets. Yosef wasn't a prophet. Doesn't say he was a prophet. And yet he was a tzaddik. That's Shalom. That's us. We have to be like Yosef. We're those Hanukkah candles. We're bringing God into all those aspects of our life. Yeah.
I'm disagreeing with you, but what were the dream interpretations?
That we also have dreams that we can interpret. But see, it doesn't ever say, Vayomer Hashem Le Yosef. We have dreams that can be interpreted. Yosef's power was being able to feel God, even though he wasn't openly speaking to him. That's Hanukkah. That's the Shalom. That's actualizing. That we need to do also.
Because Yosef doesn't have any direct interactions with God.
That's right. That's right. Yosef is the Hanukkah candle. That's why it's the Yontif. Hanukkah is the Yontif that it's completely from the rabbis. You know, it always fascinates me. It's the Yontif that all Jews celebrate. Right? All the people that Adam Sandler sings about celebrate Hanukkah. Right? Now, seemingly, Hanukkah, it is true, and it's only from the rabbis. Those rabbis. Hanukkah is only from there. It's not nowhere in the Bible. Everyone celebrates it. It's all Torah Shabbat Peh. It's all from the rabbis, right? But so why does everyone celebrate it? Because all Jews feel that Hanukkah is the antidote of celebrating that I'm able, that my life is about finding God in the snakes and scorpions, even though I didn't feel Hashem speaking to me. That's a Hanukkah candle. That's a Hashem Yivarech Esam B'Shalom.
I hope everyone thinks that. Just thinking that.
Their souls are definitely thinking it. Chemist is saying that we should be conscious of it.
Kids are thinking
it's
about presence. It's
interesting when you think about it from that perspective because, you know, like, one of the biggest, secular thought opposition to Judaism, you know, from like Haskalah and everything was against what they consider rabbinic.
Exactly.
Judaism.
Right. And yet,
even when you go even further back to like the Karaites,
the Pharisees.
And the Pharisees were all about like, we believe in Torah Shabbat.
Yeah.
The Torah Shabbat, it's all made up. It's all
right.
Nonsense.
Right.
And the fact that Hanukkah is entirely Torah Shabbat.
Yep. Fascinating.
And the fact that the, you know, majority of probably secular and even intermarried Jews recognize Hanukkah. Mm-hmm. Which is Torah Shabbat Peh, and not like Shavuos, which is from Torah.
Which is completely
Sinai.
Revelation at Sinai.
Yeah.
It's crazy,
yeah.
Right? So that's exactly what we're learning now.
Yeah.
So I think the reason is because their souls are sensing in a deep way that Hanukkah is God being able to feel God's light and bringing God's light in the snakes and scorpions also. In the pit. In the mosh pits.
But is historically Hanukkah as strong as it is today in the absence of a certain other holiday.
Right.
If absence Xmas, is Hanukkah as big as it is?
Absent.
I don't know. I mean, you have to look in history, like pre-pagan history, to see if Hanukkah, because Hanukkah doesn't come about until...
There are many stories.
The first time is Adar Rishon. I mean, the first celebration of the 25th of Kislev was Adar Rishon.
Because
the days were getting shorter and shorter because he was punished, and he saw that the days were shorter and shorter. He did not know that it would not go until there'd be no more sunrise again, and it took about 4 days for him to be really sure
after
the winter equinox, the 21st, that the days were getting longer again. And then that was the opening celebration, which actually then became a Roman celebration, and it became a Zoroastrian celebration, and this was all happening on the 25th. And probably the Christians aligned their holiday to there as well, because they wanted to have the holiday of lights at the same time.
The chicken really came before the egg.
It's to an end, exactly. Yes.
This is always...
Thank you all for coming.
So I pause on your thing.
Next week there will not be a shir, I understand,
correct.
Right?
It's Christmas.
Why not? That's perfect. They can get here on time early, even.
Is that why? No, it's actually not Christmas, but
it's a bank holiday.
It's a national holiday.
Right.
Monday.
We can do it.